with certified financial planner Dave Petzo. Dave answers your questions about personal finance. He provides insight into making the most on your money using over 20 years of experience. Money Matters is brought to you in part by Petzo Financial Consultants and Mountain West Bank, Idaho's community bank, with offices in Boise, Ketchum, and Coeur d'Alene. Dave Petzo, the host of Money Matters, is a certified financial planner professional. And now the host of Money Matters, Dave Petzo.
Good morning and welcome to Money Matters. We're going to try something a little new, and we would like to hear your feedback. Every Monday, I come in and talk with Kevin Miller, and we're going to play that the first 30 minutes or so each week. I'll be live after that, so keep your calls, your questions, shoot us an email, and we'll talk to you soon.
And here he is, our great friend Dave Petzo with us at 580KIDO. Dave, again, a slow week, if you will. It looks like... Much to your chagrin, the stocks have recovered from the Brexit exit.
Yeah, that's so disappointing.
Well, for one of us it is, yes. For one of us it is. And you're saying, well, why am I always cheering against Dave Petzo? No, it makes for a better story.
I totally know where you're coming from. What I don't understand is oftentimes some of our listeners that seem to be angry about the market going up. I don't understand. I understand the news flow and all that. I got it, but yeah.
Well, I have to tell you, I did get a bribe over the weekend. Our friend Terry from State College, Pennsylvania, End of Times Terry, his new name, he came in and delivered some cherries over the weekend.
Nice.
When we were here on Friday. And I said, well, you know, you really need to go after Dave Petzo because he's going on and on and on. I said, well, you know, you can't let Dave get away with this stuff. And, you know, and then he's talking about everything going down. But there is a bias towards the negative. Why is that?
We are, yeah, human beings are negative, and human beings are fearful. That makes sense when you lived in a cave and things ate you. But our wiring isn't different. But now we're afraid of not having enough money, therefore not enough power if you're a man. Again, of course, I'm just totally characterizing everybody in the same box. But, and for women, it's security. It's all those things. It's ego driven. There are so many things in our society today that make people feel that having money is the end all be all to who you are and whether you're going to get the cute chick or not. It is a really bizarre society when you think about it, and all that feeds into that negativity. First of all, we're wired negative. We are afraid of losing our money, and whether that's real or imagined, and how important it is each person's own question. But you take that all together with the news flow, Kevin, that is over 90% negative and comes at us 24/7 from multiple locations. And I don't know how people get up in the morning sometimes, right? You and I laugh about this, right? We grew up at a time where basically the kids disappeared in the morning all summer long, and the only rule was there was no TV, you weren't allowed to hang out, no video games, you just came home at dark. That's what you did. And now you don't send your grandchildren out. Same people who grew up this way don't send their grandchildren out in the front yard without bubble wrap on because we think there's a boogeyman around every corner just because of the news flow, and it really affects us in multiple ways and financial ways.
Now,
and,
wait a minute. You've correlated... the financial markets to grandparents and bubble wrap?
Yeah. Did that fit in my mind? Did that not fit for you?
Dave Petzo with us, Kevin Miller, as we continue on here at 580KIDO. Let's take a look at the big announcement last week concerning your beloved Micron. And the reason why I say that is you cover them more than anybody else. I think, and maybe I missed it, usually when something big happens, Dave Petzo is on TV covering this issue. They're announcing layoffs. I don't know how that could happen. It seems as if Micron hit a peak when the Chinese wanted to buy it, and it hasn't been the same since.
Well, it was on its way down when the Chinese came along, and yes, you did miss it. I was there.
Well, thank you.
Channel 7 on Friday. I just want to let you know I was. Now, granted, everybody was heading out for the weekend. Apparently, Kevin Miller, you were too, so that's okay. It's all right. But at any rate, yes, they are announcing, or they haven't announced how many layoffs, but they announced that they will be laying some people off. And whether it's a normal course of business that they are going through to, let's call it the 5% rule, where you occasionally want to come through and cull off 5% to 10% of the workforce. Even though you might still be hiring in some departments, it's a kind of a cleaning of the house. I don't know what it is, but it but they are they did announce it in their earnings announcement on Thursday.
Right. So what does that mean?
It means that they'll be cutting back probably somewhere around.
That may work for your friends at Channel 7.
Okay.
But here...
What does it mean? Not a lot, because Boise's gotten a lot bigger, and it's very small layoffs. So we don't know yet, Kevin. You're asking me to define how many people have left and what the economic impact is, and I don't know. They've not said.
It's either you or me.
I know.
And we've already closed the book on me on this.
No. It's better for you to make that up, because I'm The answer is there will be minimal impact unless we're talking about laying off an enormous number, because Boise has expanded way beyond the days of only having HP and Micron here.
You know, Boise, Meridian, Caldwell.
Oh, yeah, that's a little west of here, right?
The Treasure Valley. Yes,
that's right.
We like to call it. Dave Petzl with us, Kevin Miller here. If you have a question on finances, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Looking at some of the market headlines here. Fasten your seatbelts. No telling where the markets are going to go from USA Today. Do you agree with that statement?
I agree with that statement 100% of the time. Every day, the market is open. People don't know. Never have. All I know is in the long run, markets go higher. They have many corrections, but in the short run, who knows?
How does one then, and again, I'm enamored with The Big Short.
Yes, yes.
The movie The Big Short, I highly recommend it. I bought the book. I just finished the audiobook. I watched the movie, just went out and bought the movie. But after watching that, you think, does anybody really know what's going on when you pick stocks, when you bet against things? It seems almost like you'd be better at the pepper mill in Reno than picking these stocks.
For a lot of people, they would, Kevin, because at least you get a free cocktail as you lose your money.
Right.
The answer, though, is that true professionals, and I'm not saying that the people running around on TV are true professionals. In many cases, they're not. But you take some of the people, the John Templetons, the Warren Buffetts, and the list goes on and on. But just people that people don't necessarily know of that are running billions and billions of dollars over here at various fund companies, whether it's American Funds and Franklin and Vanguard and all these fund companies. These guys are professionals, and they really do very, very well. And the answer is really when you see this, the average person can't do it. They think they can. But it's no different than walking up to a slot machine and you pull the handle and it works. I guess you push buttons now, but you push the button and it works. And you think you're a genius. You're not a genius. You just got lucky. And your luck will turn. So when it comes to that, I think people need to follow some of the basic rules. And if they need some help, to go get professional help. But the answer is, Kevin, you're right. The average person out there is better off going to a casino.
Dave Petzl with us here, endorsing the stock market as we move along here at 580KIDO. Let's talk a little bit about something that can impact a lot of us. This just announced today that the USA is producing now more oil than Saudi Arabia. And yet, on the other hand, because gasoline impacts all of us, oil falls to $49 a barrel on economic concerns and ample supply.
And what is your question? I'm sorry.
Concerning the idea of the economic impact of that, I don't have questions. I just make statements.
Oh, okay.
And you just dovetail onto them.
Okay. It just blend right in.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Wait a minute. I think
that
was
my fault.
I think you weren't listening, actually.
No, I do. I heard you say that we were now, but you just read a statement. I didn't know what you wanted me to say.
Well,
I agree with it. It's...
Now, could I ever figure out or dictate what you would say?
No.
Here at 580KIDO?
No.
Of course not. So... oil, we're always worried about it, so it's down to $49 a barrel. What does that mean for here for folks here in the Treasure Valley? And the fact that now we are producing legitimately more oil than Saudi Arabia, shouldn't gas prices be $1.50 a gallon?
No, but that's partly because of all the taxes on it. You're right; it should be a little lower, in my opinion. Okay, but we're not going to get there because if anything, gas taxes are going to be going up. Most states are talking about it, and the reason why, of course, is because of all the electric cars. That, or we have to figure out a way to tax electric cars because you're still using energy to, fill up your battery, if you will. But still, the real point of the gas tax is not just to penalize your use of energy; it's actually to build the roads, right? Which I believe electric cars use as well.
Well, yeah, that's the argument, but then the money doesn't go into the roads, you know.
And that is a legitimate complaint. Absolutely.
We had this whole situation here a couple of years ago where we raised the gas tax in the Gem State, and because we mismanaged the road funds, now we have to catch up with the bridges, but that's happening everywhere. They use it to fund the general fund, if you will.
Right. They look to make themselves look like they've balanced the budget themselves when they're in office, and to heck with them later.
Exactly.
It's perfect.
So do you think there'll be a day, we talked a little bit about this last week, where we're all going to be in electric cars and we're going to have, you know, solar panels on our homes all the time? By the way, from what I understand, these solar companies around here are killing it with people opting to go with solar energy.
Kevin, if I've talked about this before, but when the roof goes out on the building, which it's old and it's gone past its useful life, and that's just, you know, it's not falling apart yet. So when it happens in the next few years, I'm very seriously going to be looking at solar panels. I'm just kind of putting it off because the technology is ramping up so quickly. And you don't want to put up something that'll last 10 years when you can next year get something that lasts 20.
Right.
Or is materially better. The breakthroughs now are just huge, and you and I talked about those big solar farms that are out here, just right, you know, like out in Cuna and stuff like that. We talk about that. They're incredible and generating a great deal of electricity. And when you stop and think of where we might be with this technology in 5 or 10 years, the answer is yes. I can't imagine us needing anything more than the power plants that we have now and the solar panels.
So then, is that the end of Idaho Power?
To a degree, yes. It is. People can, in technology in the long run, is it going to be the end? No. Is it the end of their growth? Yes. And are they going to have to deal with the fact that they can't sell very much electricity because people generate so much?
Right. But for those of us that grew up on the grid here at 580KIDO, to understand it could be the end of Idaho Power. We see it going on in Nevada right now, where you have Warren Buffett that owns the utility company, and Musk, who's putting up these solar panel places. Of course, he's getting government subsidies to do it.
Of course.
So now they're worried about maintaining the grid.
I always love liberals that totally use the government. It's perfect.
Right. But we go back to this situation where we could have solar cars, solar energy. For those of us, I'd say 35 and older, maybe 30 and older.
Yeah.
That was science fiction.
It is. And Kevin, the disruption in every industry, my industry is going to be disrupted terribly. I mean, there's no question that artificial intelligence thinks better than people
do. Not better than
many.
Not better than Dave Petzl.
I will thank you for that, but I think that there's going to be a certain side that, and in the long run, the computer certainly can think better about a lot of things than I can. The question is the average advisor that better than a computer?
So,
and I would argue probably not.
So one day, will I be interviewing a computer?
You might.
Or will a computer...
We're seeing the commercials on TV with Watson, right?
Right. Or will a computer be taking my job and a computer be taking your job?
No, I don't know. I'll tell you, it's going to be something else. It is. And when we talk about it and think about it from utility companies and the grid, as you point out, what about taxi companies and being replaced by Uber, which will be replaced by autonomous cars? I mean, you just go on and on and on. Every industry is going to be massively displaced. The people out at Micron know this, and they're out building chips, shrinking the number of people that work in the firm, and having more and more automation all the time. Every business is like that, Kevin, and it is a frightening future as to what are human beings going to do and what kind of dislocation is that going to bring.
You know, why did I even wake up this morning?
Hi.
We got the Caldwell Allah Akbar guy. We've got the fireworks being banned. Now you're replacing us with computers. I'm scared. I'm frightened.
It will be disruptive and wonderful. I don't know what it's going to look like, but change is hard for all of us, and I don't like the idea either, because I'm getting old, and I like the way things are too. But the reality is that our lives are getting more and more. We're going to end up with more and more free time, I believe, in the future than we have now.
More with Dave Petzl next. You're listening to Idaho's Talk Station, 580KIDO.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzl on Idaho's Talk Station, 580KIDO. Idaho's Talk Station, 580KIDO.
And 580KIDO, we continue on. Dave Petzl with us. Kevin Miller in the morning talking about your money, 580-5436. 580KIDO. Now, Dave, we take a look at the summer. What do we have to expect locally here in the Treasure Valley. Obviously, everybody is booming with development.
Mm-hmm.
The neighborhoods are expanding. We're seeing a bunch of traffic. But again, summer, the slow time of year. What do we expect, if anything?
Well, locally, there, I don't expect much additional than what we already know, Kevin, and that is that the valley is booming. I expect more people to move here over the summer. You know, it's the time to move, and I'm sure they're coming. And as I'm informed by anybody in real estate, as you know and talk about all the time, Kevin, you can't keep a house on the market. We're not quite Seattle yet, right, or San Francisco, where we have a house listed for $300,000 is being bid at. You know, people are trying to overbid each other at $450,000 or $500,000. Those are crazy markets, but our market is getting to the point where anything for sale is sold.
Well, the Statesman did a story about that, I think, a couple weeks ago, where you have people actually going up to people's homes and saying, hey, how much do you want for your house?
Yep.
The problem is, let's say you get a gain on your home, there's no place to go to get another one.
Right. I know. People get all excited because property values are going up. I'm not sure why, other than the state or the city, you know, in counties, they love it because, they just get boatloads of additional money, and they get a chance to spend it and look heroic as politicians. So they're the only ones that benefit from it. You and I really don't until we die, Kevin. Our kids will inherit, I guess, because they won't need two houses.
Well, maybe. But anyway,
We all get excited, but property taxes is a big bite every year for people, and if we have the valuations go higher, property taxes go up. But you're quite right. I got a letter the other day. I want to live here. If you're interested in selling,
really, you got a letter.
I got a letter into my mailbox just exactly to that.
Was it a good offer?
No, there was no offer. It was just I want to live here. If you're even considering, I'm trying to sell my house and I want to live here.
Well, that is the thing. So let's take a look at this as we hear the ads for real estate and mortgage companies and everything else. How are we going to avoid the big short again?
Because there's not as much leverage, Kevin. That's the key element here. If we avoid, we can avoid two things, and I do believe we will. The bureaucrats in D.C. paved the way. The bureaucrats and Congress paved the way through Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, guaranteeing the paper. As you know from The Big Short, those guarantees stamped on them allowed the bankers, if you will, the loan originators to, and I should probably say the loan originators, not the bankers yet, for them to put together really bad loans. And that's where we had the no docs, the liar loans, if you will. And those were all put together. And then the bankers packaged them inside of the Fannie packages, and getting AAA ratings, they could sell them anywhere in the world to anybody. And so they did, of course, and then why not lever up 10-1? Because it actually is a guaranteed contract. I can go ahead and do that. And so the leverage in the system became extraordinary. People who weren't going to pay back their loans couldn't, were packaged inside of what we thought were good packages of AAA-rated Fannie and Freddie. Well, Fannie and Freddie blew up, and we all know the rest of the story from there. That's not – none of those elements are there. So I'm not just telling you history. I'm saying none of that caused that, Kevin, is there, except people's desire to own a home. But the restrictions are – the bar is still high enough so that we have quality people buying
homes. And in the long run, to really make sense of what Dave Pezzo said – just watch the movie, The Big Short. Just watch
that.
There
you go. That's right.
And we move along here at 580KIDO. So gold doing okay right now?
Gold's doing fine.
Fan of gold.
Yeah. Well, it has bursts of brilliance, but it doesn't do much in the long run. And, of course, it produces nothing. So, no, I'm not a big investment fan. If somebody wants to speculate on things, they can do that. But, it's having a good year. It's up this year, and pretty much other than bonds, nothing else is. So everything else is flat.
Dave Pezzo with us, Kevin Miller here at 580KIDO. So when we take a look at the upcoming end of the year, if you will, what do we expect here? Is everybody taking time off? Or I'm surprised you weren't at the Hamptons with Kevin Durant.
That's right. Kevin, you know, we're going to be, as we get through the summer, we've got the conventions, and so everybody can put out their platforms, and then the news medias can hyperventilate about how this is going to destroy this or it's going to be only good for certain things, and that will happen. But that's not going to cause much market movement. As we get closer to the election, if there's a clear-cut winner, you might see some fluctuations in some areas that, let's say that person might be supportive or wants to destroy. So you're going to see some of that going on as we get closer to the election, and there's more definition of who, if we do get definition of who's going to win.
Well, speaking of which, people are wondering what Trump is going to do, what Clinton is going to do as far as the VP pick. Your thoughts on that? Does that make a difference? Will the markets respond one way or the other?
No, probably not to a VP pick. It usually does not. I really don't know. You know, I can't speak. The Democrats can deal with that. I don't understand how you'd have anybody that's actually going to help Hillary. So she's a criminal. So it's kind of hard to simply say that's okay because I put a good guy next to me, that's going to make any difference. As far as Trump, though, because he just can't keep his mouth shut about anything, I think that maybe somebody that's a little bit more steady could or could be an attack dog, but with a little more class, if you will. And maybe Trump can back off of that. But I don't know that that's not him. I don't understand sometimes why he feels that he absolutely has to put his foot in his mouth when saying nothing is just absolutely required of the situation. And so I'm not sure he's capable of that. But if he is, I would think somebody that that is more along the lines of a quiet but thoughtful attack dog that could take that position from Trump and let him be more presidential.
Right, but you hang out with those guys all the time. You don't tell those guys what to do.
Yeah, I don't hang around with the Donald.
You don't hang out with Trump?
No. Mm-mm.
You mean you're not at the slots table at the Harrah's or the Peppermill or
at Trump Taj Mahal or whatever.
Or the silver whatever in Reno there?
That's right. No, I have not seen him.
You're not
him.
Shooting craps with the Donald? Dave Petzo, anything else we should look out for here?
You know, Brexit isn't done, Kevin. I don't think Brexit is completely done. So I look for a little bit of, at least in the European markets, a little bit more turmoil this week. As we have settled back in, markets have, again, I don't think it's going to be anything like we had. That's not what I'm saying. I am saying, though, the markets will still be a little more volatile and not straight up from here.
Dave Petzo, the Petzo Center, Petzo Financial. Check him out on Facebook and Twitter. Dave, we appreciate it.
Kevin, great to see you. Thanks for being there.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. Matters with Dave Petzo on Idaho's talk station, 580 KIDO.
Hello, good morning, and welcome. Pretty good market this past week. Pretty good stuff. We continue to do fine. Post-Brexit, right? I mean, things are okay. But the news continues to be horrible. Horrible, 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 horrible. And I love talking to Kevin on Mondays because, we dive a little bit into the into the political side and talking about that and thinking about it. And all of this doom and gloom over Brexit is an explanation for why markets are doing what they're doing. But also what they're doing isn't crashing. They're not. And what they're doing is short-term, not long-term. But what's certain is that it's bad. It's bad, 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 bad. No matter what you read, it's always bad. And it's not just enough to say all the news is bad or virtually all the news is bad. It is. And don't get me wrong. It's so super important to acknowledge, I mean fully acknowledge, to our core, that everything I read, everything I hear, everything I watch is going to tell me how it's all going to end, how it's all bad, everything. And to just pretend like, yeah, that's the way it is, does not help us. It is devastating to the human being. It's devastating to our investment outlook. So it's important. Don't get me wrong. It's super important. We talk about it all the time. But I don't just want to talk about it in the sense that, yeah, all the news is negative, and it's really hard to rise above it.
It is. It's super hard. And people don't think it is. We all think that we're above that. Yeah, I know. I'm just getting some information here. And we're not. And we talk all the time about things like gold, you know, and pet rock. But this is what we talk about. Yeah, I probably ought to do that because it's all bad. And then we miss out on all of this. And sometimes I'll be talking, for example, and I'll kind of talk about history in spite of this happening, that happening, interest rates at 20%, you know, Richard Nixon followed by Jimmy Carter. You know, the list goes on. It's like, yeah, really? Just going to give us a history lesson? You Pollyanna. Right? I get that. Talking to the wind, I know. Most of the time, it's just talking to the wind. Because people are going to hunker down and absolutely believe. In spite of whatever evidence there is. They're going to believe what they want to believe. It's what they do. You know, those of us here, sometimes we look at the, you know, pockets of extreme liberalism and go, really? You're surprised you have these kind of problems? Wow. But you need to open up and free the markets. No, we're not going to do that. No. You know, and we look at it, we laugh, and go, goodness gracious, these people are just ridiculous. Can't they see the most obvious things? We all can't. We all can't. And so we have to remind ourselves constantly of this. I know I do. Actually, I know everybody does. We all do. I mean, we have to be reminded of everything. Professional athletes have coaches to remind them of the basic things. Yeah, your alignment is wrong. Your grip is wrong. Really? But they hit hundreds of shots every day. Yep, they slip. We go to church every day because, you know, we don't get it every week. We don't get it the first time. We have to be reminded sometimes. We remind ourselves, I do. What's the matter with you? Why are you grumpy? Why is your attitude that way? It's your choice how you feel and deal with today. We have to remind ourselves about everything. And in investing, we have to remind ourselves that the world, in fact, is not ending. The way to do that, in my mind, is this. It's part of it. Is A, the world isn't ending. Okay, let's just say it's not. Because I don't know how to plan around that. I'm just not a bunker building guy. As if, well, you know, what in my financial plan should include end of world? Sorry, I don't know. Don't know what you should have in that. I know for me, that would probably be a spiritual thing, okay? But we're talking finance. What do you want to do? Do you want to hunker down and figure out why it's all going to end? You can join the legions of people that have done that for all of time. Well, my grandpa said, never invest in the market, so I don't. Okay. How'd grandpa do? He didn't have any money. But nobody did. Yeah, I hear it. I got it. Great advice. Not. Based on fact? No. Fear? Yeah. Fear and ignorance. So we look at these things, and it really comes down to this. When I talk about this, because it's not just this idea of just optimism no matter what. But what people don't understand, I just don't think they fully grasp how easy it is to scare people and how bears always sound so intelligent. And people that think things are going to work out have been 100% right. They do. They have. In spite of a lot of really bad stuff. And I know this time is different. I get that, because in your mind, it's always different. I didn't understand how Greece, the size of Vermont, was going to, the GDP of Vermont, was going to take down the world. This didn't make sense to me. But thank goodness there were so many people that could explain to me how this was really going to happen. And I didn't get it. I didn't get it in 2012 when the fiscal cliff was there. I just didn't get that was going to be it. Thank goodness there were so many people and so many articles to let me know that that was it. And then we had Greece, and then we had the pigs nations again and again in 12 and 13 and 14. And thank goodness we had so many people again to help me understand why it was different this time. And we would not come back. And all of the doom and gloom in 2009 that we were heading south again. It's just so awesome because I didn't get it. Markets recover. They always have. That's what I understood. And thank goodness there's people there. There's gobs of people out there that can just help me to understand that it won't this time. You see, the negative case for the market always, always has more intellectual appeal than the bullish case. Always does. So imagine that. We're just in this context. We've got the bull, we got the bear. The bear automatically is smarter because the negative case always has more intellectual appeal. Whether the market's good or bad, bears always sound more logical and astute than the bulls. They have super intellectual gravitas. They have profound insight. They just see things that we don't see. You know, about how inflation numbers are really misleading and the unemployment rate is so much higher. And we could toss out terms like U6. I do it all the time. The U6 unemployment number is really bad, and then and waging rises are just horrible, and it's really not that good. And it's going to cause a slump in consumer spending. How all of these variable loans, or have you seen the 10-year to 2 trajectory of that, the flattening of the yield curve? That's disastrous. And we haven't even begun to see how every nation in the Eurozone is going to spin off and want to be on their own. It's over. It's always over. And it always sounds so, wow, you mean the 10 and 2 year? Wow, gee, we as man, or the yen-euro counterparty transaction is going bad? Holy cow. This is horrifying.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying, it's bad out there. Man.
And what do you say, Bob? Well, I think that with low interest rates and high corporate profits that, you know, and record dividend payments and, you know, where interest rates are, I think we'll muddle through and corporate profits will continue to rise in a growing world.
Really, Bob? That's all you have to say to the yen-euro counterparty trade? That's all you got. That's it. And that's all you got to answer to what's going on in the Eurozone? That's all you got for the negative interest rates, pal?
Glad to have you here, Bob. Glad to beat up on you, Bob. See, then we just dismiss that, the Bobs of the world, as just sounding intellectually vacant. Compared to every bear on the planet. We just downright dismiss as intellectually unsatisfying, unappealing, dumb. Just dismiss them. When all of history says, it'll work out. And you see, we don't guard ourselves against it. That's my point. We don't guard ourselves against this. It's not enough to talk about it. It must be understood at the level of we dismiss based on some gravitas of argument that most of the time we don't understand. And by the way, is wrong. Bears have been wrong all of our life. All of our life. But they sound smart. So let's not be fooled into thinking that the only intellectual market position is a negative one. Because it's not. It always feels that way. Always. Think about it. You have to look at history just a little bit. And I know it's totally impossible to have the same emotional connection to it. I get that. It's totally impossible. Because that problem has been resolved. It's complete. It's done. It's over. We didn't die. The market came roaring back to all-time highs in spite of the financial collapse. The pet tech bubble, the whatever we're in bubble now. The bubble that didn't happen, the 10 bubbles that didn't happen because they were said to happen. The commodity bubble, oops, that didn't happen. Oil going to $200 a barrel, oops, didn't happen. Oil going down below 25, oops, it didn't happen. Oops, 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 oops. The contagion all around Europe because Greece is getting out. Didn't happen. Doesn't happen. And I'm not even beginning to go back into the 1970s, which was a horror show. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled into thinking the only intellectual position is a negative one. Because they're always wrong. But they always sound more intelligent. It's really, really, really one of the great tricks of investing. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. Money Matters with Dave Petso on Idaho's talk station, 580 KITO.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. Give us a call here, if you would, 580-5436, 580-KIDO, or obviously email. We love emails as well. That's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net, P-E-T-S-O, not the sauce, P-E-T-S-O Financial.net. You know, it's so amazing to me how negative the news is. I was discussing on the negativity all the time. But what we have to understand, too, as we're dealing with and thinking about this Brexit deal, is this does not fit the narrative at all for the One World Order crowd, the progressives. I mean, this just doesn't fit. How could Britain be so stupid? And so remember when you hear all these things like the polling data, this is a lot like, you know, the Donald Trump campaign, you know, really where the dumb people. Well, I don't want to be dumb people. I mean, I don't mean that. But I mean, you know, the people that are like the college professors, they would never, they're voting for Hillary because, well, they like criminals much better than they do the Donald. And so we're intellectually superior, and so we vote for them. only the really dim people vote for Trump. And it's kind of like that in Britain. And so they're tossing out these polls, you know. It's like, well, you know, all the people around, you know, Oxford University, where all the really bright people live. The polling data showed how overwhelmingly people would be staying in the EU. It's really in the outlying areas, you know, where the working class are, that not very intelligent people are. This is the polling. I mean, this is unbelievable. This is just dialogue goes on and on and on. Oh, so the broad appeal was really to the stupid and ignorant. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, this never would have happened. It's not about freedom or anything like that. And so this kind of thing does not. It keeps being beat up as this horrifying long-term negative to Britain. And let's remember this. Freedom. Freedom has never been bad economically. Forget about all the other cool things about freedom. But freeing yourself from higher central government has always been economically positive. Not just cool, but economically positive. All right, we're going to have our second hour after Fox News. That's hour number two of Money Matters upcoming. And, of course, these are my opinions and my opinions only. We're not here to tout stocks and tell you what to buy, 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 and sell, sell, sell. If anything, we're the opposite of that. That's silliness, it's noise, it's stupid. It leads us further from the truth of investing, which is it's a long-term pursuit. And the truth about investing is it you have to stay in it. And all of this noise makes us feel we should be doing things differently than perhaps sitting on our hands. Wise decisions aren't made in a flurry of activity. It's a guess, short-term direction. And it's been wrong. So we're here to talk about it, and how can we, in a short-term world, think long-term? Well, it helps me to talk about it. It helps me to try to give analogies and talk about different ways of thinking about things. It makes me think about it different, too. And by doing that, somehow I really believe we can think long-term in a short-term world if we keep working at it and keep reminding each other of that. But all we have to, we can't just learn at once. We have to keep learning. You know, it was interesting. I have had a phone call here. I get these periodically, and it's, of course you get them periodically, right? It's what I do. Dave, I've been thinking of pulling out for a while. Yeah, just taking some money, putting it to the side, you know, because... And it's always something along these lines, because everybody, right? Everybody knows, fill in the blank, Brexit's going to be a problem. The stock market's overpriced. There's going to be great calamity when the Fed can't buy any more bonds. You name it. It's just history. When the pigs nations... We have contagion all over Europe, and they all leave the euro all at once, and it's all going to end badly. And we can go back to 10 years ago, 20 years ago. 30 years. There's stuff every year always that everybody knows we should do. And back to kind of what we talked about just a little bit, it floats together. But in our education segment today, I want to talk about this and how a little bit in a different way and a little bit deeper. It's not just a question of market timing, but we have to start there, and then we'll pull back, okay? So let's remind ourselves of some of the things that we have to think about from a market timing perspective. Can we do that? It is our education segment. I promise, new flavor to be added to the seasoned dish we're going to serve here, which is about market timing, but it's more than that. It ties with what we talked about in the first hour, and that's this. The intellectual appeal of the negative case is always multiple stronger than any bullish case. It's not even close. We think as we input more and more and more of this information, it's helping us to come to smarter conclusions. And it does not. It inevitably leads us further from the truth because we simply continue to follow the same confirmation bias of what we already believe. We will read more about how the world is ending. And with 90%+ of all information out there, negative. All outcomes negative. And of course, again, once again, it's very important to understand this. Intellectually, and who doesn't want to be smart? Intellectually, the bearish case appears to be stronger. Always. Always. I mean, if you want to have more gravitas, if I want more gravitas here, that's easy. I'll just, it'd be better if I'd grow a beard, right? Don't you think that'd look better Monday mornings? Other than, you know, with the white poking out, it might kind of glow. But anyway, I used to have a beard, so I know I've got a lot of gray hairs in there. But I could kind of tug on my beard, and I could be like, well, you know, Dee, I'm pretty worried about this. I am very worried about the 10-year, 2-year yield curve. I'm very, very fussed by the plunging pound. I'm very, very fussed by the growing deficit. I'm very, very fussed by the empty cities in China. It just goes on and on and on. And I would sound a lot more wise than, you know, I know the market had a little bit of a hiccup this past week, but that's what markets do, and then they come back. Well, thanks, Dumbbell Dave. Where's Intellectual Dave? He sounded really smart. And it sounds like I'm making fun, but this is so super true. We have to be careful of this and where we're getting our data and where we think is smart. So we think this, like if I pull out for a while. So let's set that thought aside, still with the context of what we talked about in the first hour. And that is this. The negative case is always intellectually more appealing. And who doesn't want to be smart? Who doesn't want to be smart? We all want to be smart. I got it. You have to be smart. You have to be. It all sounds really like a good idea. We'll just trade in and out of gold. Everybody knows gold's going up. That's part of this discussion. It always is. All right. Charts and graphs. Are you ready? Simple, easy. Okay, it's not much. Can I set this in a basic tone, and then let's go back to just a couple of numbers just to kind of like have an intellectually good argument? First, just this simple observation, if you will. Can I just put this in the common sense category? Okay, just like, boom. I'm going to accept this as common wisdom, common sense. But I'll give you a couple data points anyway, okay? So, one. The great investors of all time. Now let me make sure you understand this fully. All of them. All of them. Warren Buffett, Michael Price, Peter Lynch, John Templeton. There's more, Ben Graham, and so on and so forth. Okay? But you get the idea. These are actually people that we all have learned from. We all quote their great wisdom. We read their books. We try to learn from them because they are so far above everybody else in their success investing that they should be listened to. Not short term, well, I did 180% this year, so buy my newsletter. None of that. These are long term, wow, these guys are good. Really, really good. Really, really good. And so, what do they say about market timing? About right now, I'd like to just pull out, which is market timing. and then I'll come back in later. What do they say about that? Do they say, sometimes it works, it might, under this circumstance, or this time it's different, so this is the way we did it in 1985 to time the market? Did they say that? Ever? No. Can we, can I? Okay, just I'll speak for myself. That's it. Just for me, that's all. I'm not going to speak for you. I accept that. That I am not smarter than them. I'm not. I am not. I'm not a better investor than Warren Buffett, Peter Lynch, Michael Price, and John Templeton. I'm not better than they are. I'm not. So I will go ahead and accept their conclusions about investing, of which one of the cornerstones of their philosophy, if you will, is that you cannot time the market. You can't. It does not mean that when they can't find good values to buy, that cash doesn't coincidentally build up in their portfolio from dividends and maybe a corporation over here or two hit the objective. Do they run all or majority to cash because they anticipate a big downturn? Do they sell short? No, 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 no. Then I accept that. I can't do that. To me, the whole decision-making process is done. But don't we love evidence? We love evidence. We love it. We love data points that we can hang our hat on. And I've talked about this many times, but remember this simple thing. Six of the best 10 days. Now, we talk about if you missed the market for 10 days over an unbelievable, like, 20-year period of time. 10 days in 20 years, can you imagine that? I mean, it's like no time at all. What is that, like 0.001% of the time? But you missed those 10 best days. Just 10. Instead of getting over 8% the last 20 years per year, you get 4.5. 4.5. You go negative in a positive market if you miss the 30 best days. That's it. You just miss a couple of days. Gone. Done. No returns for you, smarty pants. Now, six of the best 10 days. Are you ready for this? Six of the best 10 occurred within 2 weeks of the 10 worst days. I'm just telling you from the standpoint of thinking about market timing, about zigging and zagging. This, you know, I'm going to get out for a while and I'll get right back in. Things are pretty rough right now. Like right after the Brexit, I'll just get out on Monday, get back in pretty some when. And then we have this boom, explosion. Prior week, higher. That's what happens. You have bad down days, you have big up days. Right after them, you think you're going to trade around that? You're not. Nobody does. Good luck with that. Six of the best days occur within 2 weeks of the worst days. In other words, the eye of the storm shows great returns right then. You can't trade around it. So we accept that. But it's more than that. It's this type of discussion goes back to what we talked about before. It's not just a market timing decision. It seems intellectually feasible to do because we're engrossed in all of the end of world thinking, all of it, and we forget again how intellectually appealing the bearish case is, how wrong it is, but how appealing it is. It appeals. It sounds more intelligent. Always. It's amazing when we think about that. Because we all want to be smart. We all think we're smart. We all want to listen to smart people. Most of it's noise. Most of it's about the two big decisions you make in investing. Almost all of it is. You have to start. You have to start. Preferably when you're young. And there's only one other thing you have to do. You really, that's it. You have to stay. You have to finish. You have to start. You have to finish. That's all. That's all in all of history. Certainly all of American history. British history before that. I don't think they had stock markets before that. That's it. That's all you've ever had to do. Overly simplistic, I know. But the answer is, again, let's peel back one more layer, and I'll leave you with this thought. If you pull out for a little while, even if you're right, when are you going to get back in? When are you coming back? I know you have a plan. It'll be whatever, you know, plan you think you have. It'll be like the pullback will be X amount. You're looking at some chart, graph thing, whatever it is. The squiggly lines cross at this point we're in. Or just when it feels like it, because we also have confirmation bias of how smart we are, and we don't remember when we're wrong. We don't. We really don't. I don't either. So there's two things. I told you one, I lied. I'm going to tell you two. I want to show you an example in my life of one. But I want you to think about this. When you pull out and you can't get back in because you won't get back in, you have now, even if you win, even if you're right, this one time, and the market goes down, when are you coming back? Because you got to get it right twice now for one market movement. And here's the worst part. It's like you're 21 years old, you went to the casino the first time, and you won. Mom and Dad, is that a good thing for Junior? Is it? To win the first time in the casino? You ever seen that before? I have. When something improbable happens, and we tie it to our own brilliance, like, I'm just pretty good at blackjack. I'm pretty good at craps. Grandma really knows how to play the slot machines. Yeah, okay. It's not a good thing. It isn't a good thing. It's the dark side. You've just entered the dark side. Think about that. I want to give you a quick example in my life of how we have this bias of how good we are. And why does that exist? And how does that exist? You know, and you've heard me talk about it before. The 76% of the drivers think they're better than average. Unbelievable. This is off the charts for me. 93% of the college professors think they're better than average college professors. I know. That's there's a lot of jokes in that. But bottom line is this, right? People who really think they're smart aren't. They don't know reality around them. Oftentimes, that's true. Oftentimes, that's true. We all think we're better than we are. But here's the example I want to give you. This goes back just a few months. I have to assume it had to be somewhere around February, the middle of February, because the market had a significant character change. But I don't know the exact time, and it doesn't matter, because I know for a fact that this has happened multiple times. But I was there on a Wednesday. Literally, I walked in, and I told Jennifer, and Jennifer and I have worked together for over 20 years. She's just an amazing lady. And so I just was talking to her and just saying, look, this thing looks like crap. This market just looks like it's going to tank. It really does. I mean, it's the trading, everything. It just looks terrible. Terrible. So I went back to the office. It was just, rah, 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 rah. And I go take a call or something. I'm doing stuff, right? And then in the market, and just that's it. And the market didn't really melt down much more, but it was down. It was ugly. It was messy and closed. And Thursday comes. Boom. Market goes up. Friday, market goes up. Huh. Never think about it. Just didn't think about it. Literally on Friday night, I'm not joking, this is really Friday night, and I know I've shared this story before, but Friday night, about like 8 o'clock, I went, whoa, remember on Wednesday, I thought the market was going to tank? It not only didn't tank, it's like 600 points higher. Now, of course, I didn't do anything. I didn't sell because I thought I was some kind of trading genius. Here's my point. Of course I was wrong. It's a 50-50 coin flip in the short term what the market's going to do. But what I did was this. If the market would have tanked, I could have easily walked in the next day and gone, yeah, I felt it. Felt it. Felt it. Just had that sense. It's going to tank. But it didn't. And so what did I do? I forgot. I forgot all about it. How many times do we just like think that way? Where we think, I think this is going to happen. I'm pretty sure that whether it's sports or it's everything, we go, man, I should have bet that game. I knew it. I knew they were going to upset them. And I probably should have taken the really big odds on it, and parlayed it or something. Because I knew it. And we forget the 10 times before that where, the favored team won. Big, big surprise. We forget how wrong we are. And our greatness stands out as if we are really wise. We really have to guard against that. The only honest thing about market timing, sports betting, whatever you want to do, guessing stuff, is to write it down. Every time you have your little thought. See, we're all susceptible to that. I forgot that really strong feeling I had. And out of the blue, I remember it on Friday. And I just know hundreds of times more in my life, I've never remembered how wrong I was about a zillion other things. Don't think we're smart and can trade something you can't. It's really important. If you think you can, start writing down every little thought you have. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. Jim, hang on. We got to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. It's Money Matters with Dave Pezzo on Idaho's talk station, 580-KITO.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. Hey, just so you know also, give us a call now. Because our final segment today, with Jump kind of opening and getting going again, brought me back to later in the year, or later last year when I talked to John Otter, and we talked about technology and farming. It's just a short segment, but it was one of those that was like, it was so enlightening to me about what Jump was really about, which is technology. And of course, that's the big project in downtown Boise that Jack Simplot always wanted. You know, it was kind of a museum, if you will, of technology and tractors and things like that. But it's a really interesting segment. Talks about potatoes that are better than ever before, and will they hit the market soon? Those kinds. Anyway, I think you'll enjoy. It's just a little 8-minute segment, but I thought with Jump really getting up and going, it would be interesting. So give us a call right now. Let's go to the phones. Jim, how are you? Thanks for holding.
Fine, thanks. How you doing?
Good, good.
Yeah, you mentioned two words that I think I can summarize what you were talking about timing.
Yeah.
You mentioned the words start and finish, as I recall.
Yep.
And I love these adages, but you put two words between those two words, and you've got an adage, start what you finish. And it would have the same,
Do you mean finish what you start?
start what you finish.
I always heard it as finish what you start.
Finish what you start.
I think you got it backwards, man. Go ahead, Jim. Make your point.
It's okay. Yeah. Start what you finish. Or finish what you start.
Finish what you start. That's right. We got you. We're back online.
Finish what you start. Well, anyway, it would have to go with investing, too. With, you know, basically buy and hold or, you know. Well, you could tie it in with a kid if you wanted to. I mean, you have this kid, and the kid a lot of times does things well, but then all of a sudden doesn't do, you know, is naughty. So what do? Sell the kid?
Right, right. That's true. Well, sometimes you do. I mean, you know, if they're really bad, you got to do something about that kid.
Well, I guess if you're in China or something.
Well, unfortunately, that's true. But yeah, you do. It's not that you buy and keep every stock you have. It needs to be refreshed and renewed and know if that makes sense to hold it. But that's fundamental. That's not what people do. They sell all of their stocks, all of their funds, or want to move all of it to gold. It's absolute or whatever it is, but it's astounding to me as I hear washed up actors and game show hosts and things like that telling me what I ought to do financially. I'm like, seriously? People actually listen to this? You know, it's like, what was that? Robert Duvain, I think is the name. I don't know. I wouldn't know him or even what he was in, but I think he gives his name. You know, sitting on a golf course or something, it's like, wow, well, if he has gold in his safe, maybe I should too. It's just bizarre.
You want to hear another, you know, kind of an interesting analogy having to do with politics?
Mm-hmm.
I've come up with.
Okay.
Well, you know, in this election, people aren't voting for somebody; they're voting against somebody. Well, a lot of people cannot stand Hillary Clinton, right?
Right.
Hillary Clinton is beatable easily.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, okay, you take the Republicans. You know, this is a football game, right? You take the Republicans; they've got the ball on the 2-yard line. The defense is weak. All they've got to do is run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But with Donald Trump, what did they do? The quarterback, you know, like I say, all they've got to do is run the ball, win the game. The quarterback drops back 25 yards and throws a Hail Mary pass 30 yards.
Right, right.
And that's, you know, kind of like, I don't know, with that. Well, you know, whoever wins, most of the people will dislike them. Some people are for Hillary. Some people are for Trump. But, you know, if you vote for Hillary, for instance, and Trump wins, you hate him. If Hillary wins, you still don't like her. And it goes with the Trump people.
Right.
So whoever wins, 90% of the people are going to dislike him.
Well, 90% on the other side, that's correct. That's
well,
right.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's not that many on their side.
No, there's not. No, this is not a for, you're right, this is an against election. And it is, in my opinion, still is Donald Trump's to lose. If he could somehow keep his mouth shut, but I don't think he can.
You know, that's what leads me to think that maybe this is a sabotage attempt, you know. How could anybody, I know his ego is over the moon, but how could anybody be that stupid to say such stupid things to alienate most of the people?
Right.
I mean, you got to work at that.
That's true.
Well, anyway, right. Have a great weekend.
You have a good one, too. Thanks,
Take
Jim.
Care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. We do have to take a break here for Fox News. If you would like, just give us a call. Okay, we've got time to take a couple calls before we have our final segment with John Otter and talking about JUMP and the technology in ag. We, of course, did a whole program before with John, but this is just a little snip to just remind us of what we have right here in Boise and with the Simplot Company, some of the amazing things that they are doing. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. It's Money Matters with Dave Pezzo on Idaho's talk station, 580 KITO.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our final segment right now, together live. So give us a call, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. You know, I had the opportunity to go out and see the Simplot plant, the French fry plant, if you will. But it's more than French fries. It's, you know, the patties and all those things. But, yeah, I've talked about it before. It's just amazing. I mean, the robotics, it's really very much out of the Jetsons, if you will. You know, they produce 5 million raw potatoes, 5 million pounds, excuse me, a day into 3.5 million frozen pounds, processed, boxed, on the truck, ready to go. A day. A day. With about 60 human beings. The robotics are unbelievable. The world is changing rapidly, and we think of it oftentimes only in certain industries. You know, technology, and, you know, and all of these other things. Yeah, it is in technology. But because of technology, it's in manufacturing. And you go through this and you see all of the pictures, you know, of all the women, and they were women. It's not a sexist comment. All the women lined up looking for bruised, cut fries. Going across the conveyor belt. They're not there anymore. Not that that's a fun job, but it does bring up so many things, and we don't think of drones over all of the farmland. We are having this GMO, genetically modified food argument. But what if a potato could last months longer without bruising, or be bruised so much? Or so much less. How much more you feed the world? What if it actually had carcinogens that were removed from it? So you could fry a potato and not have a known human carcinogen in your system because of a fried potato. It is amazing. But that's in technology. And so I hope you enjoy it. You know, if you heard it originally, I still think that this particular segment, to me, is why JUMP exists, and our whole thought process of how technology is impacting every industry, all of them. Farm? You know what I mean? Right? Right? So you have the straw hat guy just running the combine. Or is the combine running itself? And the drone goes over the field and sprays? Because it sees bugs in certain spots and not others. Pretty amazing. Pretty stunning stuff. And that's what JUMP is all about. And, of course, that big project here in Boise. All right. So, anyway, we're going to talk about that in the last segment here. In the next few minutes here, I just really want to touch on this, too. Because positive news is just, you know, it's just news. The largest energy reserves in the world are in the U.S. How about that? How about that? The biggest contributor to global supply over the last couple of years is the U.S. How amazing is that? Did we think that could happen? No, nobody did. Come on. All the doom and gloom, not going to have enough energy. That was the known thing for our whole life. Peak oil, we're going to run out. Technology. It's always technology. Saves the day. Lengthens our lives. Improves our standard of living. And yes, it's disruptive and scary. It is. But like it or not, you can't put our head in the sand. And my choice is to embrace it and learn about it, and we'll try to stay in front of it the best we can in all of our jobs, all of our, you know, it's going to be weird. It is. It's going to be weird, but all technological revolutions are. Let's go to the phones real quick before we get out of here. George, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, sir.
Hey, I think I heard you say when you were talking to Kevin earlier, mm-hmm. and I guess that was last Monday morning,
sir.
But about Idaho Power, that you thought it was going to be going away because of clean energy and that kind of thing. Did I hear you right there?
Yeah, I think that's another very big disrupted industry, and I don't know that it goes away, George. I don't mean that. I mean that I think that their future is not very good, because I think you are faced with a circumstance where most all of us within a decade will be producing a lot of our own energy, if not all of it,
mm-hmm.
at our own house,
yeah.
with a panel on our roof. And it's not that they're not going to be there for the huge power users, or to take those big solar farms that are out in CUNA mm-hmm. and run that line directly to Micron for technology. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But the day of energy only coming from the grid is changing very rapidly. That's really my point.
In my opinion, that'd be a welcome change. But there's mm-hmm. something else in a similar vein. Somewhere I saw an article on LinkedIn. A guy was saying that within 10 years, banks are going to be dead
mm-hmm.
because almost all transactions are being conducted online now.
Yes.
And I know I bank online, and I could almost see how that would happen, but my local branch is so fun. I enjoy being in there with those people, you know, and making deposits and
yes.
cash and checks and things like that. It's hard for me to see that would completely be true, but I guess what Schumpeter's destructive, what is it, creation?
Creative destruction.
Creative destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that could happen, and it would minimize the numbers. I guess it's the same kind of thing as your self-serve gas stations. You know, you don't need people there to do it.
That's right. And they were nice. It's nice to have somebody greet you, wipe your windshield and all that.
It was.
But we moved on. And it's going to impact so much every industry, George. And that's the thing that we got to keep talking about and trying to, you know, learn from. But, you know, it's sad in so many ways, but it's also, it's always been progress, and we move past it.
Uh-huh.
But yes, I think all industries are going to be impacted. Mine too.
I heard
sure.
you say that. I can't remember the exact context.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm going to hold that thought, because guess what? I'm out of here.
Okay.
And, George, if I don't answer it, you hold me accountable, okay?
Okay.
I'll talk about what's coming on the financial side, in my opinion, anyway. Thanks for joining us, and I look forward to hearing John Otter coming right up. Special edition of Money Matters. I'm Dave Petzo, and I'm here with John Otter. So Butch's son and your grandpa was Jack Simplot.
Yeah.
And we're about to open up and celebrate a gigantic facility in downtown Boise. That's just fantastic. When's the actual official opening?
Good question.
We're not sure.
Good question. I think, you know, I think with the dates that I gave you before, again, December 13th, 20th, and 27th, I think activities will start building around that. But as I understand it, it's not someplace that you just go to. There are certain areas where you can go to hang out,
mm-hmm.
but it's more of a kind of an event-driven, you know, you go there for a specific purpose.
Gotcha.
I think. But I'll say this, the website. Oh, gosh. Let me look it up while we're talking. But
that's no problem. Don't worry about it. We can find it. We'll all Google Jump.
Cool.
Okay?
Yeah, just Jump Boise.
Yeah.
Jack's Urban Meeting Place. So, yeah,
that's awesome. What a neat thing. Anyway, I enjoyed the discussion there. Now, with Simplot, you're on the board of Simplot. And so you're kind of – what are you doing technology-wise to, you know, thinking out 20 years from now? What are you guys working on new – growing techniques, or is it more fertilizers, pesticides, things like that?
Well, it's kind of across the board, but you know, we're always asking ourselves, you know, what company are we going to be in 20, 10, 20, 30 years? Because that's the way my grandfather always thought. It wasn't about tomorrow, wasn't about next year, and thankfully we're private, so it's not about next quarter.
Right.
You know, so that allows us to invest in certain things. And you know, we've gotten a lot of press recently on our new innate potato. And this is a potato that
Generation 1 has gone through all the way through FDA, USDA, et cetera, EPA, all the way to market. And we've got in select markets around the country, we're actually selling a fresh potato under the White Russet brand. That is this new potato that you can slice, dice, cut it up any way you want. It doesn't turn dark.
Wow.
And on top of that, it doesn't bruise as easily. It stores better. And it also has less of a chemical called aspartame that, when fried, turns into what's called an acrylamide, which has been associated with cancer. And, and the state of California is already regulating the level of acrylamides that can be found in foods. And so, and it's actually got 70% less aspartame in it. So, you know, from a waste point of view, you know, we ran some numbers, and we figure that if everybody used our potato, I'm probably going to get this a little bit wrong, but we could save some 480 billion pounds a year in waste.
Wow.
You know, so you think about, and plus we won't lose as much in storage. We won't lose as much in the production process through, you know, when we're making French fries through bruising. And Generation 2 just received USDA approval, and we're waiting on the other two approvals from both the EPA and the FDA. But Generation 2 has all those qualities that I just mentioned. Plus, it is late potato blight resistant, which is, you know, if you're Irish, that's big in your history, because that's what caused the Irish potato famine of the 1840s.
Right. Why and, so many Irish are here.
That's right. That's right. And it's still a big deal. Potato blight still a big deal in potato production today. And so millions of dollars are lost most years because of it. Some years are worse than others, but this helps become more efficient.
Right. Let's talk about genetic engineering.
Yeah.
Why are people so scared of it? It's I guess we've done that to a degree by picking out the biggest bull and the biggest cow, so we do it that way, and everybody's okay with that. But if you do it in a laboratory,
somehow
it's
there's something wrong with it.
And
somehow
why, even with all the, nobody thinks there's anything wrong with it, well, but they do. Why?
Well, you know, you're right. You know, pick the biggest bull, bet the best bull, the best horse. You know, if you have a dog, chances are your dog has gone through generations of, you know, as a result of generations
selective
of
breeding.
Selective breeding. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's also interesting that today, you know, if you use the climate change analogy that, you know, 90-whatever% of scientists believe that it's real. You know, if you look at that, if you use that same argument, about 88% of scientists believe that there's no harm in genetically modified foods. Yet 37% of consumers believe that there's no issue. So there's a big delta between that,
yeah,
and between those two.
37% of consumers believe there is an issue or not.
There's not an issue.
Right.
So the delta
the majority,
is between the 88
yeah.
and the 37, and so the majority believe that, and a lot of that is result of a lot of political campaigns, and not in in the traditional sense, but protesting, et cetera. You know, Monsanto's gotten itself in trouble over the years. So have a couple of other companies. But what we've seen with our potato is that at least the discussion has gone back to a discussion, and not somebody protesting somebody else that can't speak. And I think consumer attitudes are changing. We're doing a lot of marketing, a lot of market testing in that area, but it's still going to be a while before most consumers will say, hey, you know, I'm happy with BT corn, I'm happy with the Simplot and 8 potato, mm-hmm. and we understand that. So again, like I said before, we're in the long game.
Right. Right, right. So, you say Monsanto got in trouble. What did they do? They
troubles, are, I guess, trouble is a relative term. I mean, they've got a Roundup Ready corn that basically went into the marketplace. They didn't tell many people about it, and they're a prime target for people who don't like big companies.
Right.
And so, protested lawsuits, et cetera, have kind of governed what's going on in the GMO marketplace as a whole. And, of course, we're living within that as well.
Right, right. Exactly. All right, so you've got a fabulous new potato. What else is going on in ag, even if it's not specifically you? What's the next big thing?
So,
out there?
God, there are so many things. I mean, like I said before, you know, drones, you know, drones flying over fields and looking for issues early on is one thing. You know, even just the tractor, John Deere is just doing an amazing job with putting in components that measure the inputs that go into a field. They're using big data to help cobble all that together and figure out what it means so that we can use that information to test theories and be able to maximize, again, what we get out of that acre versus what we've put into it, be it water, be it pesticides, be it fertilizer, et cetera, mm-hmm. and just to become more efficient. And what's funny, it'd been a while since I'd driven a tractor, and I took my, at the time, girlfriend we went out and watched some potatoes being planted, and we climbed up in this brand
new.
You
romantic guy.
That's what she says. I met her in the middle of North Dakota.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
But we went for a tractor ride, and the least important thing in the entire cab of the tractor was a steering wheel. So I counted no less than 7 screens that the operator was using to measure where he was in the field, how many seeds were being planted, and he had a little console on his right that he just tickled a few things with his five fingers and different levers and switches, et cetera. And then we're getting about to the end of the row. It beeps at him. He leans forward, pulls the steering wheel back to him, does most of the 180-degree turn, let go. The computer, the GPS, took back over and made sure that that next row was as straight as the first one. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and we're just – it seems like just right around the corner we're going to be – robots will be doing all of it. We won't have a farmer sitting in that at all.
Probably.
Yeah. All right. John Otter, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Very interesting. We've got to do this again.
Yeah, let's
do. All right.